Lisa Schindler and Bobby called me and asked me would I come and pray with them and be with them, and I was anxious to do so.
That's Jesse Jackson in Florida last night talking to the press after he had had opportunity to meet with the Schindler family at their request, coming down to Florida and lending his considerable personal and political weight behind Terry's cause. He wants to see that feeding tube put back in. He's twisting arms in the Florida legislature, although it's hard to say how much good that's going to do at this late stage in the political game. I was surprised. Were you surprised to see Jesse Jackson down there? He probably would have been one of the last I'd expect to go down there, and so I was a bit surprised. It's Issues Etc. Open Lines here in the third hour of the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. Your questions and your comments, your reaction to Jackson's presence in Florida with the Schindler family fighting for Terry Schiavo's life. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. A couple other questions connected to this. We're going to hear a little bit more from Jesse Jackson in just a moment. He has some very sensible things to say and some, well, he has at least one very odd thing to say. But we'll play it all for you, the good and the bad and the ugly. If you're a police officer in Florida down there and you are assigned to guard the entrance to the hospice where Terry Schindler Schiavo is being dehydrated and starved to death, you're supposed to keep the protesters out. One guy yesterday, I think this was yesterday, broke through the barricade, ran toward the door. He had a bottle of water in his hand. Now, it was a valiant effort, but he was trying to get into the hospice to do something, to do anything. He was tackled at the door by police officers. He was arrested. He was the 47th to be arrested outside the hospice where Terry Schindler Schiavo is. If you're the police officer, can you do that in good conscience? Pro-life. You want to see Terry live. Can you stop the people who are trying to help her live? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Or maybe you're not working outside the hospice, but inside the hospice. I've been in many a hospice. The people who, generally speaking, the people who work in this end-of-life care, taking care of people's pain, the last days of their life. And by the way, Terry Schindler Schiavo doesn't belong in a hospice because she wasn't dying. Now she is because she's being starved to death. But before that, she didn't belong in a hospice. Somehow she's in there. Most of these people are marvelous people. Marvelous people. The doctors and the nurses and everyone else, they go out to people's homes. You're doing this, and you're being asked to stand by and do nothing. And you know that the tube reinserted, perhaps a day or two ago, would have meant life for Terry Schindler Schiavo. Could you have stood by and done nothing? It's your job to do what the doctor has ordered, and the doctor's acting on the court's order. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What do? Do you hand in your badge? What do? Do you say, no, I can't do it in good conscience? What do? Do you say to the doctor, to the supervising doctor, no, I'm not going to, don't ask me to go in there because I won't be able to stand by and do nothing? Or maybe you've got a different answer. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. I want your answers to those questions. I also want to know, and I didn't even think about this until a couple of weeks ago, when we have big, long prayers in my church. We pray for all manner of things. But we have a prayer that comes before the actual sermon. It's called the pastoral prayer. And in this pastoral prayer, the specific needs of the congregation and specific needs to the congregation are enumerated and prayed for by the pastor before his sermon. Then the prayer that comes later in the service, the general prayer, is more general in nature. Now, it may have happened in my church, and I don't know if it has or not, but I don't think I've heard any of my pastors pray for Terry Schiavo. Now, I talked to someone recently that said, oh, no, we prayed for her last week. I've heard people say, pray, pray, pray. I was listening to someone today. Pray for Terry Schiavo. Has your pastor prayed in church for Terry Schiavo? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Has he been asked to but refused? Pastor, can we pray for Terry Schiavo? No. What reason has he given you, if any? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Now, the best callers and emailers in this last hour of the program, as we discuss those things, listen to Jesse Jackson here in a moment, will receive this book by Raymond Hartwig. He's a regular guest on the program. It's a Bible study called A Christian Perspective on Euthanasia. To the best callers and the emailers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our email address here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Okay, we heard from Jesse Jackson. He has been invited down to Florida to attend with the family, to pray with them, to do what he can. Here's how he sees Terry's situation.
She is being starved to death. She has been dehydrated to death. And that's inhumane. It's immoral and it is unnecessary. There's no rational reason for this to happen.
That was concise. How long was that? That was less than 15 seconds. He said in 15 seconds. Notice what he said in 15 seconds. This is her condition. She is being dehydrated and starved to death. Fact. And then, it is not rational. It is not moral. It is not necessary. Now, did he? I don't know if in the rest of the thing he mounted any arguments. It is inhumane, he said. I don't think I've seen a more concise characterization of the facts and what it means from anybody in this case. I just have to hand it to him. I couldn't have come up with that in 15 seconds. And there he is. Are you surprised at Jackson's presence in Florida on this issue? What's your reaction to it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In answer to the question, has he been in to see Terry? Here's Jackson again.
We did call Michael Chavo and ask if we go in and have prayer with Terry. And he finally got back and said he thought not.
Now, this is pretty much par for the course. Apparently, the parents are allowed in occasionally. The lawyer gets in anytime he wants. I don't know if Michael's been in, but Jesse Jackson is not, at least at this point, being allowed in to see Terry to pray with the family. Now, this guy is, Jesse Jackson's a big name. I want you to think about this. Senator Santorum comes down. U.S. senators come down. Jesse Jackson comes down. I heard calls yesterday for James Dobson of Focus on the Family to come down, trying to mount every possible, build as big of a possible base of people who speak with loud voices because of their notoriety. It does make for strange bedfellows. What do you think about Jesse Jackson being down there? Now, let's just be honest. Normally, the whole pro-life community and more generally the whole social conservative community would not have much in common with Jesse Jackson, politically, socially, even one might say in a lot of cases, morally. I do not think, if I remember correctly, he's been any great champion for life when it comes to the abortion issue. Now, I might be wrong on that, but I think I'm pretty fair in making that assessment. What do you think's turned him around on this, where he's willing to say that Terry's condition that's being imposed upon her by her husband, Michael Chavo, is inhumane, immoral, unnecessary, and there's no reason for it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, Jesse Jackson had a few other things to say, some of which were more difficult to figure out.
Maybe by her stripes we're healed, because there are a combination of people coming together to pray for her who ordinarily wouldn't pray together.
Now, that smacks to me a little bit. I mean, in all respect to the Reverend Jackson, of an ecumenical agenda here. No, the point is Terry, not the fact that she's become a rallying point for the ecumenical movement so that people who wouldn't normally pray together are suddenly praying together. The goal here is not to bring people together. The goal here is to keep Terry alive. I'm really uncomfortable with this reference, maybe by her stripes we are healed. I mean, what, healing of the community through Terry Schindler's suffering? But the allusion there to both Isaiah and to the Apostle Peter is not, well, his words were not well chosen. If you wanted to say she's become a point where people of all differing viewpoints can come together and at least agree on this, now I'm with you, Jesse. But don't say by her stripes we are healed. Here's more from Jesse Jackson on the fact that Terry might be an ecumenical rallying point.
We pray for a miracle. We ask God's intervention. And God has done it before. We reach out to people of faith across lines that divide.
And I think that's a good, I mean, if taken in the best light, I think that's a good thing. Here is where people can agree who may normally disagree on many other things. And we do this all the time. We've been doing this on the Terry Schindler Schiavo case and many other issues here on Issues, Etc. For years. That is where we can agree on issues like life issues, where we would otherwise disagree on many other things. We come together, we talk about it, and we highlight our agreements. The last guest we had on, Bill Luce, he's a Roman Catholic. He and I theologically do not see eye to eye, but on the Terry Schiavo case, we agree. Therefore, we come together and talk about that. So Jackson has a point. What do you think about all of this? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you were a police officer, could you keep people away from the hospice who wanted to help Terry Schindler Schiavo, or a nurse? Could you stand by and do nothing? Has your pastor prayed for Terry Schiavo? If not, why not? Kim is up first. She calls from St. Charles. Kim, welcome to Issues, Etc.
I'm a Catholic, but I like to listen to your show.
Great.
Just two comments, and I'm glad Jesse Jackson sees the light in this situation. I just really hope that he can translate his understanding of her being starved to death to the starving to death of an embryo or a fetus as well, or the destroying of an embryo or a fetus. And my other comment was, and it's a sort of an echo of what your former guest said, is that I am a nurse. And I work in a residence for profoundly disabled children. Three are tube-fed. They smile, you know, they're not verbal, but they do get some enjoyment out of life, and I get a big kick out of taking care of them. They're next. I don't see how we could go any other way. The only difference between my children and Terry Schiavo is the fact that they were never normal before, ever. So I see us going the way of Holland eventually, when Terry dies. Eventually, maybe 10 years down the road, they will be destroyed.
So let me ask you the nurse's question then. If you were working in the hospice down there where Terry is currently fighting for her life against all the efforts of her husband, could you either stand by and do nothing in attendance, or could you even be present in that situation?
I would have to. I mean, I'm assuming there's a policeman in the room that would prevent me from putting the tube back in. In which case, I couldn't do anything. But I would refuse the patient because I don't think I would want to be a part of a killing. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, Kim. Thank you very much. Do any disagree? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to get a nurse's perspective on PVS, the now-famous persistent vegetative state, and Terry Schindler Schiavo. We'll be talking about that with Cindy Province tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Up next, James from South St. Louis. James, welcome.
Yeah, I wanted to take a little bit different tack on this. I'm not a healthcare provider, but I do work in the healthcare industry. I wanted to say that I happen to think of something a little bit strange. If you watch the show MASH, the people on there go to extraordinary means to take care of their patients, do they not?
Oh, sure.
Why can't they do? Including to the point where in a state of war where they went so far as to they risk court martials, being shot, they risk all kinds of things. Is MASH so different than it is in the healthcare industry?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. It's funny, James, because this was a couple of weeks ago. You know, the picture of Hawkeye Pierce. He's bent over an operating table. He is, and thank you for the call. He is fighting for his patient with every ounce of his being. Don't die. He is doing everything to keep a person alive. Here's a man whose arms have been blown off, or maybe he's suffered some other injury, and he's doing everything he can. Folks, let's just be realistic. There are very few Hawkeye Pierces out there anymore who, when faced with something, even maybe the inevitability of death, will fight to keep patients alive. There are some. But where have we come from? We've come from, and that was an idyllic picture that is gone, that whole Hippocratic ethos in medicine. And doctors will tell you this. That's long gone. They may individually subscribe to a Hippocratic ethos, but not anymore. What do we have now? Doctors saying, hey, all it would take to keep her alive is feed her, but that's not worth it. Back to the phones. Mary calls from her car. Mary, welcome.
Hi, Todd. I just wanted to say two things. First of all, while you were talking about all this, I noticed on the car in front of me had a big pink sign saying, Mike is, wake up people, Mike is murdering Terry, your daughter might be next. I thank that person, whoever it is. The other reason is, why didn't Dr. Jackson come down earlier? Why did he wait so long? Why didn't he come down and sing her praise and talk about this earlier where she might have had a chance?
Well, I can't answer that question, Mary. It's a good question, but let's put the best construction on it and say he's had a change of heart. Maybe his mind has been changed on this. And with minds changed, even at a late hour, he'll do what he can. And I can't say anything more beyond that. Dee calls from her car. Dee, welcome.
Thank you. As far as Reverend Jackson coming down, I was completely shocked, but very pleased that he did make a stand. I don't think that in his circles that would be considered the right thing to do, but he did it, so I'm very pleased with that. Also, he made a statement yesterday that we needed to pray for hardened hearts to become soft. And I really believe that maybe the Lord is working on him and his, you know, his position. He is a pro-abort, and I'm just praying that he'll, you know, make the connection to this life issue to, you know, the preborn.
Dee, thank you. He will have some tough questions to answer from people with whom he is standing down there. Many of them are pro-life, and not all of them are against abortion. There are people, and in particular, Wesley Smith has pointed this out, people in the disability community who may be pro-choice when it comes to abortion, but are still very much in favor of Terry Schindler Shivo's life continuing. Dave is up next, calling from his car. Dave, welcome.
Joyous Easter tide to you, Pastor Wilkins.
And to you as well.
Two things, if I might. My wife is with me here in our car, and we have been following the case with Mrs. Chavo for quite a while, and she's made the comment, if this does go through, what is to stop any hospital from just saying, like the lady that called a couple callers ago, that the situation that's in Holland, why don't we just go ahead and anyone who is anywhere near death or even not near death but sick to the point of never getting better, let's just go ahead and kill them.
Well, Dave, this is one thing that I think at this point someone's going to say, well, no, what we're talking about is with the consent of their guardian, this could be done.
But
in other words, doctors can't go in and willy-nilly just start pulling out gastric tubes.
Right.
But if the parents or the husband or the wife or the children or anyone who has a durable power of attorney says pull it, then there really isn't anything stopping them.
Right. And the next thing I want to say, as far as if I were a police officer, if I were a in the room as a healthcare professional, personally, I'm a pastor in the same synod that you belong to, and I took a vow at my ordination 2.5 years ago that I would never, ever divulge those sins that were confessed to me, and in so doing, I am ready to go to jail to uphold the seal of that confession. And I would have to say the same thing, and if I was in that vocation, and if someone came to me and said, you know, you are not to pull a feeding tube, or you are not to save someone, I would go to heroic measures to go ahead and try to save that person. And if I go to jail for it, so be it. If I get arrested every day for consecutive days, so be it. This is a person's life. It is not just a hunk of flesh. This is someone who God has made and God has sustained. And far be it from us to say, forget about it. He or she has to go. God bless you, Tom.
Thank you, Dave. So Dave would picture this scenario. Dave's got the gun. He's got the badge. He said, keep him out of the hospice. Dave says, no, I'm crossing the line. I'll join the protesters and try and get in. That's his answer. What is your answer? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Ruthie calls from St. Louis. Ruthie, welcome.
Hi. I just want to say I'm so shocked with the hypocrisy of the feminist movement. I mean, here you have a case where a man is killing his wife, and they're always complaining how sexist heterosexual relationships are, and this is a perfect time for now to come in and to say that this woman needs to be rescued from her husband killing her, and I just am appalled.
Ruthie, before I let you go, has your pastor prayed for Terry Schiavo?
Not that I've heard, but I'm in the nursery at that time, so I don't want to say he hasn't.
Do you think he should?
Absolutely.
I mean, publicly in the public prayers of the church?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ruthie. Ben calls from his car. Ben, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to say, if I was a policeman or a nurse, I'm not really sure what I could say they should do, because I'm not one of them. I know it's real easy to say, if I was them, I would get arrested every day. If you want to get arrested every day, you can go down there and get arrested every day. So it's kind of hard to sit in my car and say they should get arrested, but I'm not going down there to get arrested. So what I'm doing is I'm praying daily for her and as much as I can. So that's what I'm doing as a bystander.
Ben, does your pastor pray for Terry in church?
No, we haven't in church, no.
Why do you think not?
I'm not sure. Probably because we don't pray for those larger issues outside of our body that often anyway, which we should, but a lot of times we don't. We're more concerned about the specific needs of the congregation.
All right, Ben, I think it's a fair answer, but I'm thinking about the prayers I hear in church. We have prayed for those who defend us abroad in the military. That's not, I mean, we don't just pray for the people from our congregation who are serving in the military. We pray for elected officials. We even name them. George, our president, so-and-so, our governor, all the way down through the ranks, and we will pray for, and all those who govern us. I mean, there are a lot of broad issues that we bring in here. Now, granted, there are lots of Terry Schindler Schiavos out there who don't have famous names. But this one does, and I'm thinking we ask God to preserve Terry Schindler Schiavo's life and all those whose lives are wrongly threatened in the same way. That's a simple prayer. Why wouldn't a pastor pray that on Sunday? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. One quick phone call before we go to this break. Charles from Lake St. Louis. Charles, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Todd, for accepting my call. My question to you, Todd, revolves, as you are a pastor, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it revolves around the creation and for people to actually make a living will. So in these circumstances, a person may say, I do not want my life to be sustained. Now, personally, I'm in excellent health. And I would say, you know, I'm very thankful that my body and mind is very fine health, and spiritually to have a faith in the theology of the cross. And I know that after this life, there's something, definitely something far better than this side of it.
Only about 10 seconds
so
here, Charles.
What is your opinion of the living will?
Oh, let me get to that on the other side of the break. We're going into this break. It's a good question. What's the opinion of the living will? And I'll answer that. We've actually talked about that recently here on Issues Etc. with a couple of the Weiss boys. Before we go to this break, let's give away a book. The book is A Christian Perspective on Euthanasia by Raymond Hartwig. He's a regular guest on the program. And for this first segment, let's give it to James. He was one of our callers. James, call us back. We'll send you a copy of this book, A Christian Perspective on Euthanasia.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The primary task of the Christian preacher is to deliver Christ himself to sinners. Christ's perfect obedience, his suffering, his death, his rest in the tomb, his resurrection and ascension for sinners. Christ in holy baptism, Christ in the Lord's Supper, Christ in the word of forgiveness for sinners. You'll find example after example of this Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Selected Sermons of Dr. Norman Nagel, from Valparaiso to St. Louis. This book is $24.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
Genesis, don't leave church without it.
Answers with Ken Ham, a well-known Bible conference speaker. Well, Ken, what do you exactly mean by that phrase, don't leave church without Genesis?
Well, it has to do with equipping Christians to defend their faith before they decide to leave the church. You know, statistics in the U.S. show that for young people who go to church and attend public schools, somewhere between 70 to 90% abandon the church after they graduate. Well, most likely these young people never understood that all Christian doctrine is founded in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. You see, the church by and large stopped teaching Genesis as literal history because so many church leaders compromise with millions of years and evolutionary ideas. For example, without the foundation of a literal Genesis, Christians won't be able to properly defend marriage as one man for one woman, especially now with the gay marriage movement sweeping the Western nations. And if young people are told by the church that they don't have to believe Genesis, many will end up rejecting the rest of the Bible anyway. The proper Christian foundation is built only when we teach the whole Bible starting at the beginning and show that the literal history of Genesis is foundational to the rest of the Bible, in fact, to all Christian doctrine.
Starting with the Bible, we can know that all the different people groups, or races, go back to Adam and Eve. That's the conclusion found in Ken Ham's free booklet, which you can read at AnswersRadio.com. Just visit our attractive and easy-to-use website, AnswersRadio.com.
This is Dr. John Tate with the Media Minute. What do the Hilton, Marriott, and Westin hotel chains have in common with AT&T and General Motors? If you answered that they are all major distributors of pornography, you would be correct. AT&T owns the cable network AT&T Broadband, and General Motors owns DirecTV. Both make a hefty profit showing pornography. Our sexuality provides a precious, private way that a husband and wife can share their love. Sex is not a recreational sport to be watched in the media. God loves us enough to send His Son Jesus to die for us. He also loves us enough to bless us with the beautiful gift of our sexuality. Let's use His gifts the way He intended and teach our children to do the same. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute at cmli.org.
Have you tried and failed to live a purpose-driven life? Do your attempts to live a life that is pleasing to God fall so far short that you'd rather stay home from church? Then join Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, where the focus isn't on you, but on Christ, who was made sin for you so that you might become the righteousness of God in Him. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is located at 612 North State Street in Freeburg. Their phone number, 618-539-5664.
She is being starved to death. She has been dehydrated to death. And that's inhumane. It's immoral and it is unnecessary. There's no rational reason for this to happen.
Now that's Jesse Jackson down in Florida fighting for Terry Schindler-Shivo's survival. One of the questions I've laid on the table here during this hour of Open Lines is your pastor praying on Sunday morning publicly for Terry Schivo? I'll tell you why. Now, some pastors may not be praying because they're busy guys and they're not thinking about it, and they're thinking about a lot of other things. Some might not be praying about it because they're not aware of it. Believe it or not, there are people who are unaware of this situation. There are some who won't, and here's some reasons why they might. It's a political issue, and I won't pray about political issues. Or, well, look, people don't all agree on this issue. It would divide the congregation. If I mentioned Terry Schindler and I said we ought to be praying that her life would be sustained, I'm gonna catch heck from people, at least half the people. We don't need pastors who are people pleasers, who are afraid of an issue because it may have political ramifications, but still one to which God's word clearly speaks, or who are counting heads on Sunday morning and saying, well, I can't pray about that because I know that back there in row six, someone thinks Terry should die. We need men with conviction, the kind of conviction that comes from God's word itself. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, trains pastors and men who come out with conviction, who will speak God's word to a situation, even if people say it's a political issue. Where God's word speaks, they will speak. For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, their website, ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or a toll-free number whereby you can reach them, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Your reaction to Jesse Jackson being in Florida fighting for Terri Schiavo, we've had a couple callers say they were surprised. I was surprised. Who else would have I expected? I would have expected a lot of people. When I get in the car and hear Jesse Jackson has made an appearance down there, I first thought, what I thought I was going to hear next was, to stand beside Michael Schiavo during his time of loss or something like that. No, he's standing with the parents, trying to see Terry's feeding tube removed. You heard him there just a few moments ago. Inhumane, unreasonable, unnecessary, immoral, what's being done to her. If you were a doctor or a nurse or a healthcare professional, if you were a police officer there at that hospice guarding the door, could you do it in good conscience? And that question I just mentioned before, did your pastor pray? Has your pastor been praying for Terri Schiavo? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Open Lines, Issues, etc. for the next 20 minutes of the program. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You heard me give away the book, A Christian Perspective on Euthanasia by Dr. Raymond Hartwig, to one of our callers in the last segment. We have more, A Christian Perspective on Euthanasia, to the best callers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or emailers in this hour, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Michael calls from DeSoto. Michael, welcome.
Yes, I'm going to take a differing point of view. The emphasis has been on her living. And let me preface this. I've been a Christian for 28 years, Protestant faith. I homeschool my children. We have seven, four of which are adopted. But you posed the question. If you were a healthcare or medical provider or a policeman, could you in good conscience continue to work there, enforce the court order, restraining people from going into the building? And to be honest, in good conscience, I could quite clearly, because it's being overlooked. In fact, it's not even being discussed. The crux of the matter is guardianship. Mr. Schiavo went through the proceedings at the trial court, and I think his name was Greer, and by evidence and legal representation demonstrated that as he wanted to be a guardian, he was her husband, and that her wishes, if she could speak now, would be she did not want to continue to receive food and water. Now, if she was competent, legally competent, and could talk, he's saying basically she'd say, yeah, hey, I don't want to eat and drink anymore. I want to go. I want to leave. I don't like my condition. The crux of the matter is that guardianship. And she now it comes to the point too. You're thinking, well, what happened 7-8 odd years ago when that guardianship and that decision was came down through the court system, which is logical, systematic, and factual. If it's any type of a court, be honest, the crux of it is there was poor legal representation in all likelihood on behalf of the Schindler family. The attorneys, I heard it one time by Jay Sekulow, he said it a few days ago, he alluded to the fact that that was probably the case, but that trial court, that trial hearing is everything, because no other court really, they will overturn decisions and review them, but they really don't like to do it. They want to lean on the trial court, which looked at all the initial evidence. It's systematic, and that's how you want a judicial system to work.
Well, I agree with you in principle on that last point, because we do want them to be looking based upon the factual case that was made. But are you aware of the fact that Michael Schiavo has failed to file the requisite his guardianship isn't permanent without any conditions. He has to continue to file a report with the court on Terry's condition and what he's doing to help her condition, and he's failed to file that and been given a pass by Judge Greer for years.
No, I'm not aware of that. But if I may...
And just a minute. And you, ahead, are you also aware of the fact that Michael Schiavo did not even mention Terry's alleged desire not to live the way she's living until 2 years after he was awarded guardianship? Suddenly, he remembered that she didn't want to live this way. All throughout the trial in which he was getting a settlement for her condition, he was pledging and asking for her guardianship. He was pledging his undying loyalty to her to let her live out her natural life and take care of her with the money he would be awarded. That all changed after the money was awarded, and suddenly he remembered, oh, she wouldn't want to live this way. And he's been fighting ever since. As a guardian, yeah, he's legally the guardian. As a guardian, he's been fighting ever since to hasten her death. I mean, the news is now replete with stories from people who were formerly under gag orders that his care of her when she was in various nursing homes was terrible. No antibiotics, the basic things that they considered for even the most basic nursing care, like physical rehabilitation, moving her, rolling her, and things like that,
yeah,
all were in writing refused by Michael Schiavo. If he is guardian, and he is legally,
mm-hmm,
he is a pretty lousy guardian.
And I would not even dispute that. But through the system, a judicial system, and we all know in the last 2 weeks, there have been numerous appeals and reviews through the state system, the state appellate court, the state Supreme court, federal appeals court, and numerous attempts going back and forth with them. Different appeals, different focuses.
Actually, there haven't been appeals. There have been refusals to hear an appeal. That's what's been happening.
Well,
they haven't heard an appeal and said, well, we've heard the appeal and we're going to refuse it anyway. They haven't even reexamined the case yet.
Well, I agree with that, but there's got to be a stimulus. There's got to be a valid argument to bring about the full appeal. And they're saying the legal representation the Schindlers have provided, the points they have made to say, hey, you got to give us a chance to review this, they've looked at it and said, no, there's not enough merit. Now, again, in these appeals or attempts to appeal, numerous attempts, numerous courts, several, sometimes obviously the same one because of the judicial system. It's an organized, logical system, and appropriately so. But people are overlooking. People compare this with abortion to some degree. Yes, but no. The baby, that person, does not have due process. They don't get to go through the court system. Ms. Schiavo has gone through the court system. Her husband has gone through the court system. Now, you may find that decision by the trial judge and every appellate judge and the state Supreme Court appalling, but it's gone through the hands of probably, I'm guessing, 20-odd judges.
Actually, it's gone from back and forth from Greer an awful lot, and up to the appeals court has often refused to hear the appeal. Michael, before I let you go,
sure.
Do you agree or disagree with the court's decision?
Well, not having all the information about the trial judge, I wouldn't know.
Based on what you know, what I've told you about Michael Schiavo's fitness as a guardian.
No, because if it wasn't admitted at the trial court, then it's just like a death penalty case. Did the guy rape 20 other people? Well, a lot of times the judge will not put that in, allow that as testimony.
So the facts don't exist any longer?
No, it didn't say that. Are they now? You get into this trial.
No, I'm asking whether you agree with it. I'm not asking what the judge is ruling.
And I'm saying there's not enough information, so I'm going to rely on the judicial system, like a man would be executed for a trial. The devil's going to be in those details. You got to go back to the trial judge.
So
and look
you,
at
am I hearing you correct? Am I hearing you correctly, Michael?
Uh-huh.
That you basically have kind of a, don't let me misrepresent you,
no,
please.
No, go ahead.
A blind faith in this judicial system to see that the right thing is done.
No, not a blind faith. But I have a faith that is based on knowing the system. I'm not an attorney. I own an insurance agency, have a degree in accounting, and having guardianship of four children, and having contact with those parents and having to deal with that, there is a process. And you rely on that process.
But no one is saying, and thanks for the call, Michael, no one is saying that the process ought to be circumvented. They're simply saying, let's look at the process again. Let's go back and go back through the process one more time. That's what that legislation that passed at the federal level was all about. Habeas corpus. One more bite at the apple. The death penalty, the people who are sitting on death row get bites at the apple. Okay, you think the process didn't work well? Let's go back through it and get an appeal. Let's get a full review. They call it de novo. It means you start from the ground, you work your way back up. They're not asking to circumvent the process. They're just asking to see, let's run it through the process one more time. Kind of like checking your math when you're done with your homework. Oh, we don't need to check it. Math is a reliable system. It never makes mistakes. Yeah, but people do. Maybe you didn't have all the data when you did your math. So you go back and what do? To make sure you got it right. And we're not talking about a math problem here. We're talking about a human life. You check it. You do the problem again. And that's all they're asking for. Let's just do the problem again, please, because there's a life at stake here. And Michael, look, the system is good. I'll agree with you. It's not perfect, but it's the best we have. But the people who man the system, the judges, the lawyers, you talked about inadequate counsel for the Schindler family. Hey, inadequate counsel might be grounds to have the whole thing done all over again, right? Incompetent counsel. You might have made the case. You actually made my case for me. If it was incompetent counsel, then they deserve another bite at the apple. Derek calls from his car. Derek, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor. Are you familiar with the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I am.
Okay. Oh, there's a wonderful scene in the movie where the three men who have been granted a pardon are confronted by the sheriff who represents the devil in that movie.
Yeah.
And they are protesting that the lynching the sheriff is about to perform is not according to law. And the sheriff looks down at them and says, the law is a human institution. And the point being that we may follow that law, but it is clearly an imperfect vehicle for executing what is truly justice. I think that I've heard the argument that Michael made a number of times over the last week or so, that the procedure has been followed and law is being carried out. Well, procedure was followed according to law in Hitler's Germany to execute millions of people. Procedure was followed according to law to legalize the ownership of other human beings in this country.
You bet it was. You bet it was. All the T's were crossed and all the I's were dotted, and we ended up with legalized slavery in Dred Scott.
Right, exactly. It's so legal. If Michael is equating legal with right or legal with moral, then I think he's sorely confused.
Derek, what would you do if you were a nurse, a doctor, a police officer at the hospice down there in Florida?
I think I'd have to turn in my resignation. It turns my stomach what's happening.
Derek, thanks. Our call-in numbers 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We've heard a little bit on both sides. No one has actually come out and said, no, Terry, Jesse Jackson's wasting his time, and this has all been a fool's errand. You know, that's what I was listening recently to George Filos, who is Michael Schiavo's attorney. And he basically said, this has all been a fool's errand, a waste of the public's time. Don't watch he was reminding me of the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the woman behind the curtain. That stuff happening back there is irrelevant to you. She's happy, she's fine, she's blissful. And this has all been a fool's errand. We've been wasting people's time in doing this. Now, why would he want us to think that maybe we are wrong. Maybe we are wrong, but why would the attorney want us to think that all of these efforts, legal efforts, using the system, were a fool's errand? Why? He sincerely wants people to believe it. Linda calls from her car. Linda, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. I just have been in a situation where I was asked to take care of a patient who they were going to stop feedings on, and I refused to perform her care. I no longer wanted to participate in that, and I felt like it was wrong in the case that I was involved with, and I wish more people would who are involved in healthcare would just say, I'm not going to participate in that kind of activity. I think that's something that can be done, and that's what I did.
Thank you, Linda. Answers a question. That's simple. You look at... Let's talk about a different Jackson rather than Jesse Jackson. Let's talk about Michael Jackson. And let's not talk about the case that he's currently sitting in court for. Let's talk about his plastic surgery. We were watching a show some months back about Michael Jackson and his decline. And they were talking about the number of plastic surgeries he's had, and he's basically mutilated himself. And my wife said to me, doesn't some doctor at some point say, when he comes in with the big wad of cash, I want you to do my nose for the umpteenth time, doesn't some doctor say to him, no, Michael, enough. You're hurting yourself, and I cannot be a party to it. You know, he can always find someone who will do his plastic surgery for him. But I imagine he's been turned down by doctors who, you know, they're willing to go so far, but it gets ridiculous to a point and self-destructive to a point. And sorry, Michael, I will not aid you in your self-destructive behavior. I mean, we're talking about plastic surgeons and cosmetic surgery and doctors who in good conscience say, I can't participate in it. That's a relatively trivial matter, isn't it? You can find a plastic surgeon who'll tell Michael Jackson no. One would think you'd be able to find doctors who'd be willing to tell Michael Schiavo, no, I won't be a party to what you want to do with your wife. It may be legal. All the judges may have said yay and amen to it, but I can't in good conscience. Now, we had a question from a caller before the break. Charles asked about living wills. We talked about this recently with Bob Weiss and his brother, who is actually a geriatric specialist up near Chicago. We had them both on the program, and we talked, and Bob's brother works constantly with people who have advanced directives. That's kind of the technical term for it. Advanced medical directives or living wills. Now, let's just sort it out. A living will is something that you write. It's an expression of your will for a stage at which you are still alive. A regular will is, after I'm dead, this is what I want done. A living will is, before I die, this is what I want done. If I can't speak for myself, this is what I want done. I am in favor of them. In general. But a living will can be written in such a way to require your family or your doctors to do something wrong. Just because you put it in a will doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. See, living will, the living will, and by the way, if the advice from our guests on that subject was, put it in writing, but also secure a durable power of attorney for someone, someone on your behalf to see to it that it's carried out. In other words, have feet on the ground, someone who has durable power of attorney in the case you're incapacitated, to see to it that living will is paid attention to and followed. But what if I were to write a living will and say, okay, if I stop being good looking, you've been to a nursing home? Some of those people aren't so good looking anymore. Let's say I get Alzheimer's. I am incapacitated mentally, and I'll be fine with that until I get ugly. When I start getting ugly, kill me. I'm making a ridiculous case here. But listen, I'm asking someone to do something wrong. If Terry Schindler Schiavo, and here's the real thing that this is the one that'll choke some people who even want to see Terry live might choke on. If she had written the document and said, if I'm in a persistent vegetative state, not dying, just brain damaged, don't feed me, it would still be wrong to pull her tube. It would be legal, but it would still be wrong. She would be asking, she would have been asking for people, the doctors, the husband, whatever, to do the wrong thing. Kill me is what she would have been saying. I'm not dying. Now, that's very different from someone who says, if I'm dying, don't extend any special care to me. Or if I am terminal and I can't speak for myself and it will harm me to continue to feed me. That is, my body can't digest food anymore. My kidneys can't process the liquids anymore. Then pull it out. That's a very different case for when someone says, hey, if I'm just incapacitated, I don't want to go on. You see, Terry could ask for the wrong thing to be done. It would be legal. It would still be wrong. There'd be nothing anybody could do about it because she would have put her will in writing. See, even if Michael Schiavo was right and Terry, there watching that movie about someone in a vegetative state, actually did say, as he claims she did, I would never want to live that way. Even if he's telling the truth, it's still not right to starve her to death. It might be legal, but here's a good case for the previous caller, Michael. Not everything that's legal is right. And the Christian has to sometimes live in a world where things that are legal are wrong. Yeah, I just won the Christian libertarian vote by that one, didn't I? Because that's the mantra of the Christian libertarian. If it's legal, it's right. Paul calls from House Springs. Paul, thank you for waiting.
Hi, Todd. I know there's not much airtime left, but I cannot understand why Terry was transferred from the healthcare facility that she was in to a hospice when she did not have a terminal illness, and why did the courts in Florida not enforce the standards of care that are written, and even though you can get them on the internet, by the way, the standards of care for the various levels of healthcare provider, how did Mr. Schiavo tell them not to perform what they are required to do by law?
I think I can answer that question for you, Paul. And I think it comes down to the way that nursing homes and hospice do their business. And that is, they do not have the resources or the time to say, hey, Mr. Schiavo is keeping us from giving this woman antibiotics, basic care, keeping us from doing occupational therapy, which would just be, let's move her limbs so she doesn't curl up into a ball. Let's roll her over so she doesn't get bed sores. He's keeping us from do this. Now, what could they do? They could say, hey, the standards of care say we have to, and they're going to get sued for it. But it's a business, like anything else. And when faced with that, do we want to fight a lawsuit from an irate Michael Schiavo who wants us to mistreat his wife? Or do we want to just grit our teeth and do what he says? Or in the case of Michael Schiavo, don't do what he says. I mean, do what he tells us not to do. That is, don't take care of her. They opt for the latter. Tomorrow on the program, Joseph the Patriarch, one of my favorite characters from the Old Testament, a very flawed individual indeed. Very flawed. Joseph the Patriarch with Dr. Andrew Steinman of Concordia University in River Forest, Illinois, will be our guest. We'll also talk to a local nurse, Cindy Province, about PVS, that term that has come to be, well, dinner table talk in some cases, persistent vegetative state. We'll take it apart. 1, 2, 3. Persistent vegetative state with Cindy Province tomorrow on the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for your calls. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc. Charles, call back. We'll send you a copy of this book by Dr. Raymond Hartwig on euthanasia as well.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.